This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 347, recorded Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woohoo! Now, bi-weekly.
I go away for 1 week, and it's...
You did?
Now we're bi-weekly?
I think that's semi-week.
I thought bi-weekly was every other week, which is what we did. I wasn't around.
Right, but, okay, semi-weekly means occurring twice a week.
And bi-weekly should be twice a month.
Okay. Appearing or taking place every 2 weeks or twice a week. What? That's a ridiculous definition.
How about this? I'll be here next week. So, did you notice I was gone, or did you forget?
Okay, so, apparently bi-weekly actually means every 2 weeks or twice a week. That's the definition of bi-weekly.
Yeah, but I'm going with the one that's most useful for us.
So, you're familiar with Stack Overflow?
Yeah.
Okay, you know that the Stack Exchange, they have similar sites for different subjects. Like, there's a Linux .stack and a... Android Stack Exchange. There's a Stack Exchange for just about everything. On the English language and usage Stack Exchange, there is a question. Are there any words that I can use to disambiguate bi-weekly? The answer, the one that's accepted, is avoid bi-weekly altogether. Use fortnightly for once every 2 weeks and twice a week for, well, twice a week.
Oh, I get fortnightly all the time.
I thought a fortnight was 20 days.
No, a fortnight is 14 days, as far as I know. But
A score is 20, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
you know, 4 score and 7 years ago.
Right. Okay, that's where I got the 20. So a fortnight is
2 weeks. But I talk to a lot of Europeans, and that term's more common over there than it is here.
I like it. I'm going to start using...
What, fortnightly?
Yes. Or just the fortnight in general.
Well, I probably should, too.
I like it.
But last week at 10 o'clock, when we usually record the show, did you show up expecting a show?
Nope. Yes.
Maybe. Yes, you did or no, you didn't?
I don't want to admit it.
Okay. You declined to answer on the grounds that may incriminate you?
I declined to answer on the grounds that my memory sucks.
So I would have been here, but I was out of town on business. I'm mentioning this because the hotel Wi-Fi was not as reliable as I would have liked it to be. So I had to rely on entertainment that I brought along.
Oh,
well, I had that $17 router, the one that finally came, despite the fact it originally came as hermit crab food.
Yeah.
And I hooked that up to my tablet, and I basically stream stuff from a USB drive to my Android tablet. So I was able to rewatch something I haven't watched in years. And I'm thinking of going through the rest of the series.
What's that?
For some reason, I randomly picked Star Trek Voyager.
I think once Kes goes away, I think it the entire series.
I know. Years later, I didn't realize. So you have, three episodes in the first five where they deal with essentially time travel themed concepts?
There's lots of time traveling.
Yeah, but you should limit to, let's say, less frequently. I don't know. Can I give an example of this without spoiling a show that's been off the air for years?
I think spoiling Voyager, considering it's been off for, what, 2 decades?
Has it been that long? I think a little less. Maybe, I think it's 15 years. Anyway, I have to look that up. But basically, they have an episode where they go in a time loop and find out that they caused a disaster that they came to investigate. And then they end up in a situation where they nearly get killed because of a time-delayed reflection of them that has not yet happened. And those episodes are back-to-back. You really shouldn't put your similar concepts back-to-back.
Okay. That wasn't in the first series or the first year, was it?
It was.
I'm not a big fan of the first three years.
Well, you know how it is. When you decided randomly that you're going to watch a show, mostly because you were able to secure it, because it's old enough without concern about leaving the country. And you know the Netflix offline thing, if you download something using their offline service, and you leave the country and a device connects, and they don't have the rights for that in the country, even though you've downloaded it, they won't let you play it.
Cool.
Which is nice. But here we are. Episode 3. Voyager is trapped in a quantum singularity's event horizon, which, again, They are trapped in it because they see a reflection of their future selves trapped in it. Next episode, investigating a planet just devastated by an explosion, Janeway and Paris are engulfed by a fracture and transported in time to before the accident. So two episodes in a row, what they used to call the MacGuffin, or you know, the plot device that they've created, both happen to be a time travel concept. Then, two episodes later, a micro wormhole is discovered that leads to the Alpha Quadrant, and they make contact with a Romulan ship on the other side, except the Romulan ship is 20 years in the past. So now, in the first seven episodes, one of which is a two-parter, they've already dealt with time travel three times.
Seems fair, considering that's how they ended the series.
Yeah, but as I said, I did not remember that they had packed so many similarly themed episodes in such a short time. Maybe I should write reviews. That would be interesting.
It would.
If I started, you know, commenting on my perceptions of a show now versus my perceptions of a show from, and I just checked, 1995.
Right, but, and it aired in 2001?
Yeah, I think it was 7 years. Anyway, me and my science fiction aside, why don't we talk about Android for a bit? Although I do have a question for you I've asked several people, and I haven't been able to get a good answer.
Okay, fire away.
That is not Android. Okay. On the plane, I ordered a kosher meal for reasons you probably should guess by now. Are you still there?
Okay.
After the flight attendant brought it to me, she basically told me how much she liked my country. Apparently, you know, she'd been to Tel Aviv and a lot. I've been trying for days to figure out how do you respond to somebody who, because you ordered a kosher meal, tells you that they like your country and is referring to Israel.
You respond with, I like the United States too.
I went with thank you.
Okay.
Just sort of an odd thing. I don't get that very much in New York because there are a lot of Jewish people here. People who aren't Jewish have sort of gotten used to them, but strange. Anyway, let's talk about Android for a moment. Not a moment. That's actually going to be the rest of the show. The May distribution numbers were released. Were you excited, Jerry?
I am. Very. Yep.
So are you excited that we're have new get nearly at 5%, almost in time for a new one?
What? 5%? We have it at like over 7%.
How do you calculate 7? I thought I saw 4.9.
Nougat is 6.6 and 0.5.
Did I misread? You're correct. I don't know how I misread that. I guess I'm still jet lagged.
It happens.
Well, I always
take the previous data was 4.5 and 0.4. So last month it was 4.9% together. It's currently 7.1%.
Even better.
So that's quite a jump.
Again, just in time. Remember, I/O is coming up, and they'll probably talk about whatever O is going to be.
Yay! Android Oreo, here we come.
You sure it's Oreo?
I'm going to be seriously.
I don't know. Can't stand Oreos. But anyway, so May's Android security update is live.
Did you get it?
No. But I also was told that my Moto X Pure, the phone that I have here on my desk, that I sort of semi-retired when I switched to Project Fi, is supposed to be getting Nougat shortly, and it still hasn't.
I haven't got May's update yet.
No, I didn't either. But Project Fi did work nicely overseas.
Cool.
Yes, it's always nice to get spam phone calls while you're abroad, and you're paying 20 cents a minute.
Why do you answer?
I didn't answer. I know better. But that's the only phone calls that I got during that period because most people who call me regularly knew that I was out of town and I told them, send me a text message. It doesn't cost me anything. And I'll go on Wi-Fi and call you.
Cool.
By the way, hotel Wi-Fi still stinks. the Google Assistant SDK is now publicly available.
Does this mean we can write our own skills, so to speak?
Well, you could also do what people have done with the Amazon Echo SDK, which is basically they can run it on other things. For example, a Raspberry Pi or your computer. So it's ready for integration into projects.
Cool.
Well, I don't want to. If I want to play with the Google Home system, specifically the Assistant SDK, I may not want it because I have all these Echoes. I may not want to go out and buy a Google Home for another $100. Maybe I just want to run the software to see what it's like. Although I'm technically running the software on my phone. So the Google Cloud Speech API has also been updated and it's now open to all developers as opposed to a limited subset.
Okay. So let me. Wow. I want to make sure that this is, okay, cool. The Cloud Speech API, that's where you send them audio and they return the text version, right? Right?
Yeah.
So that means Google's honestly kind of amazing speech recognition engine is now available to pretty much anybody and everything.
Yeah.
Including the NSA.
That's the risk we're going to have to take, I suppose.
Cool.
Google's looking into longstanding issues with Trusted Places, which is their unlock based on when your phone's in a certain location.
Good.
Never worked properly for me.
Never worked right for me either.
You know what the interesting thing is? When I had a third-party app that did this, there was an option that Google never implemented. I had an app that would unlock based on what Wi-Fi network you were connected to, not the SSID, but some of the other details.
Right.
Now that's spoofable as well.
Completely insecure.
But I think there may be a way to do it.
No, they're not securely. I mean, really, they're not. It's not like a Wi-Fi device has a hardware identifier. I mean, yeah, you could say the MAC address, but MAC addresses can be set to whatever you want. So there is quite literally no way to make the Wi-Fi spot thing secure. Although...
No, I think there actually is. Not with what most people have, but if, let's say, you do enterprise-level setup and or you have a server running and connect to that's inside your network, then it should be able to.
Nope. Now, if you believe that your password, your pre-shared key or whatever is secure, then the act of successfully connecting might...
But what if you have? What if somebody sets up an identical network that's open?
Then they're not the same Wi-Fi as in it.
No, I'm saying there are ways to spoof it, but I think there are also ways to make that you could basically have it connect to something once that was only on that network that it could authenticate.
Well, then you're not... okay, so you're imagining like there's some service running on your Wi-Fi that your phone connects to or is running on whatever network the Wi-Fi is connected to.
Either, remember...
Some non-routable IP address, 10 dots or...
Yeah.
Any of the non-routables.
Correct. And it connects to that. And
it with some sort of key and it responds with some sort of, I mean, there's some sort of cryptographic exchange there that guarantees that you're talking to that device. So you're on a network that is non-routable.
Yes.
Yeah. But at that point, you're not, it has nothing to do with the Wi-Fi. It has to do with you being on the same network as the device you're looking.
I'm saying, I think that could be, if that could be extended into that system where you could just install a program on a computer on your network. And when you connect it to that Wi-Fi, it could look for that little service and be able to unlock the phone that way.
I do believe that would be secure-ish.
Yeah, but you can't really extend the Trusted Places stuff, as far as I know, or the security stuff, to add additional authentication methods.
Not without being rooted. Although, if you're rooted, then there are exposed modules that will do what you're asking, which is just unlock the phone to a certain Wi-Fi.
Well, I don't want... just a certain Wi-Fi. I want to make sure that there's a way to verify that I'm on the right network.
I don't know anything about how it actually works. I know that the option is there.
But I'm thinking of, you're talking about pre-shared key. You know the WPA enterprise stuff? That comes off of a Radius server. That should be a little more secure and that might work. But I haven't played much with that sort of thing.
Don't know.
Okay. I'm going to have to think about that. I'm not building it, but I'm going to have to think about it.
One would think that GPS would be...
The problem is accuracy. When you're in a building, it's not necessarily accurate.
Right, but you don't need it super accurate. And what it's not like you need it to be within 2 meters. You need it to be within 20 meters.
Okay, so I steal a phone and I take it to right outside the residence of the person I stole it from.
Right, and I would say that if the Trusted Places is working properly and standing in my front yard should unlock the phone.
I also should be able to say what the confinements of my house are.
What do you want to do? Draw a polygon on Google Maps?
No, just put a button where you tell it to remember, and then you walk around your house. So you basically geofence it by walking around.
Okie dokie. I mean,
either way, I tried Trusted Places in a rural area, and I couldn't get it to work.
I'm trying it in a non-rural area, and I can't get it to work.
Yeah, I'm just saying where there weren't a lot of buildings around, and I didn't go very far. I couldn't get it to work within 5 meters of where I set it up.
Well, in my house, I get pretty good GPS inside my office. I mean, when I pull up Google Maps and zoom in on my location, it's showing me in my office, my house. So the GPS is pretty good. And it follows me pretty well throughout the house. I don't know. Google Places just has never really worked for me.
Yeah, and apparently it doesn't work for a lot of people. And that's why apparently they may be finally looking into it.
Excellent. Which is why I say excellent. Makes me happy.
Samsung has introduced an app to teach children self-control.
I thought this...
Well, I find it interesting that it's Samsung that's doing it.
It's an app for the phone where parents can set absolute limits, like bedtime, whatever. And the child, if they don't push the limit, if they exhibit self-control and use the phone less than they absolutely can, then they receive points. And these points are redeemable for... actual real life stuff, like gift cards to cool places like Amazon. I mean, it's pretty nice. One would assume that the gift cards are actually paid for by the parents, but still pretty cool.
What surprises me is that it's Samsung. If I were Samsung being a manufacturer of cell phones, I would not want my customers to learn self-control. It seems like a conflict of interest for them.
I don't know. Do you? Is it a conflict of interest to keep the people with the money happy?
No, but how many companies do that? It's interesting that a cell phone manufacturer has decided to try to teach its future customers and youth how to maintain self-control and not be obsessed with the latest cell phone.
That was not a view that I took, but I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, well, they may think that they feel that that's a good public perception for them. They've had some bad press also now. Maybe it's you should learn to use your cell phone less in case it catches fire.
Yeah.
They're never going to get over that.
I understand the Samsung 8 is the current hotness.
Figuratively.
Or the Galaxy, or the S, I don't know, whatever.
Figuratively speaking. But
yes, not literally.
But I was surprised, even long after the Note thing has gone away, when I was on the flight last week, they did make a Note 7. You think by now everybody knew? I was told if I had one and it began smoking, I should tell my flight attendant. No, long after the product's been pulled off the market, they've all been recalled, they're still making the announcement.
Well, yeah, because there are still people that have them.
I know, but it's sort of interesting. Samsung is going to be living with that for a long time, even though the phone is pretty much off the market. There are people who still have it, but they've pretty much recalled all of them. Anyway, that aside, the Amazon App Store is discontinuing its underground, actually free service. That was where you could get apps that were free or free for a limited time. Yeah, apparently that didn't work out.
Well, Amazon's in a hard spot because, well...
Well, do you know what the first thing I do with every Amazon tablet I've ever bought?
Root and re-ROM it?
No. I install the Play Store. I don't root and re-ROM it. I install the Play Store. So I bought one that sits in my kitchen that connects to my Ring video doorbell.
1 second.
Rough.
Yeah, my family's coming home, so the dogs are going to racket. Just pause until they chill out for a second.
Okay. They seem to have chilled out.
Yeah, but when the fam comes, they're bringing bags and stuff, just...
Okay, I'll just talk for a moment until it starts happening.
Okay, I think we're good. Carrying on.
I have a tablet that I got when they were selling them for $40, and it connects the Ring video doorbell I installed. So instead of having another way to let people in, I basically can have a tablet just sitting there that costs me very little that I can go and look and see who's at the door. So the Ring app is not in the Amazon App Store, so I installed the Google Play Store. It also got me the app that controls my lights.
Cool.
And it has the Amazon Echo service, so I can also press a button on it. And since you can't do that on a Google Play only tablet, I didn't wipe the App Store stuff. Moving along, the F-Droid, which is the basically open source Android App Store, the app for that finally got a more modern user interface makeover, making it look like more recent apps.
Cool. That's all I got to say about that.
That's all you have to say about it?
That's all.
You didn't try it?
Nope.
It's much nicer. The other one, the previous one was a bit more... bare bones. Gboard, which is the Google keyboard, now comes with a text editing mode. So you can have buttons and copy for moving around, editing, and doing copy-paste right from the keyboard.
Interesting.
Well, I want to try this because what happens is if I make a mistake in something before I hit enter and I want to edit it, sometimes it's really hard to put my finger at the point at which I want to correct something.
Right. You know that you can use the space bar as a kind of, like, if you swipe left and right on the space bar, you can move the cursor.
I'm testing that. I did not know that, but for sure.
I find that the easiest way to move the cursor around. It's much easier than trying to, you know, get on just the right spot. I just get near it and swipe to wherever I want to go.
As I said, I didn't.
Ta-da! Now you do.
But now you have this text editing mode to do that as well.
Yeah, but I can't find it.
Okay, I found that. I just didn't know about the swiping on the space bar. If you hold down the little Google symbol...
I don't have a Google symbol.
Google keyboard?
Yeah, I don't have one.
You have a little settings thing?
No. If
you go into settings, you may have to tell it to show it. But if you hold down on that, it gives you a bunch of little options, and one of them is the text editing.
No, I don't.
That's weird. I thought everybody had the Google search key.
Me too.
How do you search?
Huh.
Well, if you don't have a Google search key, it's probably in the Gboard settings to turn it on or off. But moving along while you're looking for that, the Apex launcher is set to return from the dead in May. This thing hasn't been updated in a while, and it was assumed that it wouldn't be updated. You know how occasionally if something hasn't been updated, you assume that it's been abandoned?
Okay, I found the problem. It only shows up if you're at some place that shows prediction.
Oh, okay.
So I was actually in a Chrome browser address bar, and it doesn't do predictions at that point. So
there should be another way to launch.
You know me, I'm a Luddite.
Okay. but I was talking about the Apex launcher.
Okay, Apex launcher.
So this was the at one point the big competitor to Nova Launcher, which you're currently using.
I am still using Nova Launcher.
But there hasn't been an update to Apex Launcher since June of 2015. So the assumption was basically that it had been abandoned.
Sure. 2 years, I'll buy that.
Well, you assume if you haven't heard from the people that something's going on. But basically, sure. They're working on an update that will be more full-featured and optimized, which is always good. We'll see what happens. I did use both when I was looking for it. But, you know, some things happen where something goes dark and the person reappears because their life is... Some developers, if they have an Android app as a side project, like this guy who used to have the soundboard thing, you know, they get busy with other things, and then they decide one day, well, you know, I'm going to resurrect that project I haven't been looking at in a while. And pretty soon there'll be new My Soundboards.
Maybe. Probably not.
Okay.
Most projects, when they die, it's because the developer just lost interest in it, and it is rare for interest to rekindle.
But it happens.
Sure.
And in other news...
There's money involved.
SiriusXM has acquired Automatic.
Speaking of money.
Yeah.
Wow, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I have one of those Automatics that I bought when it was on sale for $50. And it's in my car, and I know what... Basically, you know how Google will tell you where you parked?
Yep.
Google also thinks that I park every time I go on a bus. It can't tell the difference between me being in my car and me being elsewhere. But Automatic can because it's hooked into the car, which means it knows when I have the ignition on or off.
Right.
So it's much more accurate in terms of my use of my car. And I like to know how many miles did I actually drive, what condition my car is. And when there was a fault in the car's sensors, it actually told me.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, I'm not a car person, so I wasn't able to effectively do anything other than know what it meant. But I was able to worry about it a little less as I took it to have a professional, you know, somebody who actually knew what that meant.
Sure, sure.
So I actually like having it. I get a report periodically, and I'm worried because I've dealt with Sirius before. Mm-hmm. My car has built-in XM radio, and as much as I like music in general, I got rid of Sirius, and I would have considered paying for it more because it was so annoying to deal with them.
I can understand that.
So I don't really do streaming services because then I'd be paying the streaming service and I'd be paying my cell phone provider for streaming data, and I don't really feel it double dipping is worth it for me.
I completely agree.
And I happen to like, as you may have noticed over the years, older music, so I don't mind Sirius where older music is often available. When I borrowed my parents' car where they have SiriusXM, when my car got into an accident weeks back, I was listening to their oldies channels. And the nice thing is, I haven't heard every song in the universe, so sometimes I hear a song I haven't heard and enjoy it.
Cool.
And then I end up buying it on Amazon, so then I own it, and then I don't have to stream it next time. But that's another story. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yes. So, I'm worried about Automatic being acquired by Sirius, because it doesn't seem like a good fit, even though they're both in the car. It looks like it's a play for Sirius to provide connected car services, which may be an expansion on their business, considering... how many people are going to continue paying their subscription fees with them competing with other sources?
Yep.
Especially my observation. So their normal prices are a bit high for me, but if you call up, they'll give you a deal. You can't really get into pre-purchasing anywhere else. Then they call you and harass you a few times about it. Then you get into issues where you can't cancel billing or adjust billing on their website. That may have improved since. But every time I deal with them, I just get too frustrated. It's not worth it.
Preaching to the choir.
But I did have an idea when I was looking at that $17 travel router.
Yes.
If I take that, put all of my music on it, because my phone can't possibly hold that music unless I buy a larger capacity phone than I really need. I could take one of those, put it into the car, and basically when I'm driving, I could have my phone connect to it and play through the car, or have a third-party device connect to it and play. It seems like a pain to do, because then I wouldn't get internet, because we connected to internet on the travel router, which wouldn't go anywhere, but I considered it. Anyway, moving along, the Project 5 travel trolley is now available at 9 airports. That's where you get nice things because you're a Project 5 person.
Or because you know trivia.
I tend to go with the one that affects our listeners. Do you know trivia, Jerry?
No.
Either way,
okay, so can you translate these?
You don't know your airport codes?
Airport codes? Because, no, I don't. I think I know. Okay, so we got, what is that, Philadelphia?
Yes.
Orlando?
No, Chicago, ORD. You know why it's ORD, don't you?
No.
The call sign for Chicago is ORD because the land it was built on was called Orchard. The airport itself was actually for aviator Butch O'Hare.
Okay.
When I was a kid, the only thing to read on the plane were the timetables.
And that's, okay, then the only one I knew was Philadelphia, and that was just...
Okay, ORD is O'Hare, MDW is Chicago Midway, SJC San Jose, California. MSP would be Minneapolis, St. Paul. SMF is Sacramento. BUR Burbank. SEA is Seattle. And RDU is Raleigh Durham.
Okay, so none of them that I fly into.
What do you prefer? What are your go-to airports other than the obvious of Jacksonville, which is JAX, by the way?
Atlanta.
ATL.
Portland.
Which one, Oregon or Maine?
Oregon.
PDX.
That's pretty much it. Sometimes Orlando, sometimes Miami.
MCO, MIA. Which Houston, like, Hobby or Intercontinental?
I like DFW.
Guess what the three-letter code for DFW is?
DFW.
Very good. One of my favorites is MSY. I have never been there, but it's one of my favorites because of which airport it is. MSY is the code for Louis Armstrong International Airport in New Orleans.
Well, that makes no sense.
Well, before it was an airport, it was the Moussant Stockyards. So MSY stands for Moussant Stockyards.
Okay.
That's why I get a kick out of that one. It's one of the more amusing ones. Anyway, on a final note, the EU is set to abolish mobile roaming charges on June 15th.
Interesting.
I wish the United States would do something in this regard. But the United States government is currently pro-business and anti-consumer. Is that an incorrect statement? I don't want to get too political.
I think it seems fair.
Okay. Well, that's a shame. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our list here. Any final thoughts before we adjourn until next week? By the way, at this time, I do not have any plans to go anywhere, but I'll tell you if that changes.
So we're back on regular Wednesdays?
Well, it was 1 week when I was out of town.
Future?
Jerry, if it makes you feel better, I was miserable the entire time.
It doesn't make me feel better.
I would have rather been here with you.
I would have rather you been here.
Thank you. I had to eat hotel food all week. They tried to charge me for water 3 nights in a row. I was concerned that perhaps there was a local cultural barrier, and when I said tap water, it meant something else. But I checked with the people who I was working with over there, and they said, no, we use that term here. I thought it might be like when you say soda in some places and it means seltzer.
What? Oh. Really?
Yeah. And okay. Several parts of the country, when you talk about soda, which would be, let's say, a cola, they say pop. And when they say soda, they mean seltzer, which would be carbonated water without any flavoring.
Where I grew up, we called it Coke.
But what did you call the range of products of carbonated flavored beverages? Did you call them Coke. Soda or you call them all Coke?
Yeah.
What did you call Sprite? So
it was common to say when they said, what do you want to drink? And you said a Coke, they would say, what kind? Say Dr. Pepper or
that's
whatever.
Interesting. I'm sure the people at the Coca-Cola Corporation find that one fascinating.
It's like saying you're going to go use a Xerox machine or you need some Kleenex.
So I'm going to go into your hometown and I'm going to say, I'd like a Coke, and they're going to say, would you prefer a Coke or a Pepsi Coke?
No.
They're not going to say, I'm sorry, you can't have a Coke. You can only have a Pepsi Coke because we only serve Pepsi here?
No.
Or just your entire hometown is anti-Pepsi?
No.
Then I'm confused.
Why? I told you what they would say.
What type?
What kind?
But what if they only serve Pepsi? They'd still call it Coke?
If you went into a Pepsi place.
Yes.
You said, give me a Coke. They would say, what kind? If you said Coke, then they would say, is Pepsi okay?
Interesting. You learn something new every day. Well, I have to cut down on my caffeine for a bit. So I'm back to drinking caffeine-free. Right now, I'm drinking a ginger ale Coke. Is that the right terminology?
No, you're drinking a ginger ale. I don't think ginger ale counts as a Coke anymore.
Well, I needed something caffeine-free.
I think for it to be a Coke, it has to be a dark-colored liquid.
Okay. Because usually I would say cola, which usually covers it.
Because if you want a Coke like that type, you never want a Sprite or a 7-Up. Actually, what do you want to drink? I'll take a Sprite. Yeah. You don't say you want a Coke. You just say, want a Sprite. And they'll say, is 7-Up okay? Give an answer.
Uh-huh. Right now, I considered going to a caffeine beverage. But right now, I figured I would just try something different for a bit. I'm trying to give up on, not on all caffeine, but I'm trying to cut back on my caffeine. Don't you see how relaxed and sedate I am without it?
I don't really notice a difference, but cool.
Well, hopefully I'll be back to normal soon. Jet lag for me takes at least a week. I don't understand why that is. It's my body doesn't like it. So I came back on Friday, so probably next week I'll be a little
more. I understand. So shall we say goodnight?
Hope so.
All right.
How about au revoir? Until next time.
Good night, work.
Good night, Jerry.
Good night.